What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham, and with me, it's just myself, man. This is a soapbox. It's been a while, so here it goes. Hardcore listeners know this from the very past. Once in a while, I like to kind of have just a straight conversation with you guys about a certain topic. And in this case, we're talking about management. I've been getting a lot of questions the last few years, and actually pretty recently, where people are trying to move up, right, within the position they, within the company they have or at, or they're trying to move up in by moving to other companies, right? This is a very common question. We have a lot of people in various positions out there in some form or another. Either you're trying to get in the industry or you're trying to go from junior to mid-level, mid-level to senior, senior to principal, principal to lead, lead to art director, right? There's always an opportunity to hustle within the game industry. And every few years, you're outgrowing the roles and responsibilities that you have as an artist, as a developer. And in this time where everybody is remote mostly or starting to get back into the office, it is actually even more confusing because right now we're in more of a survivor mode, right? Most companies are just trying to stay afloat or they're recruiting a lot of people, but not really. It really changes the dynamic within the company where you're just talking face-to-face all the time on Zoom and not in person, right? And being able to communicate is a big part of how you get a promotion nowadays and even before, but even more now because the only times that you really interact with someone is through just these really short calls that you have with people, right? So sometimes that's not enough. And what you want to do is that create opportunities for yourself so that you can move up and have that motivation to contribute. So I guess I can start off with sharing experience, at least my personal experience, right? My first time in the industry, I kind of had these little short stints of these not very fun games that I worked on. I think everybody is always shy of sharing their first game that they worked on. I think I've shared many times on this podcast, but for those new listeners, it's Hannah Montana DS, right? So when the DS was popular, when Hannah Montana was the shit, that was my first game that I worked on, and I only worked on it for a few months. Right, my personal growth have always been through moving around. So what that means is that for every promotion that I've got, for every time I moved up the ranks has always been switching companies. Now that is still very common from everyone that I talk to, through people that I've seen, my colleagues. It is the most common route to up your salary real fast, but also move up in position because you kind of avoid all the politics. Because inwardly, within the studio, it's very difficult to bypass the line, so to speak, right? There's other people that have been there probably longer than you, and there's people that have been there shorter than you. And I've seen cases like that where there are people that have been at a company shorter and they've been able to be promoted either through over me or other people. But the most common way that I've seen people move up the ranks have always been migrating into a new place. And it's just easier because you don't have that baggage, right? You don't have that ill will from your colleagues. Like, why did he get promoted and not me, right? It's not usually towards you, but it can obviously rub off to you. It's towards management, towards leads, people who are making the decisions. However, it doesn't feel good to be around that negativity, that energy. The only times that I have ever really seen people get promoted through the ranks by being at a company for a long time is have been primarily initiation from that person where they feel that they deserve it. They feel like they have the loudest voice to command it. And in a lot of cases, those are the people that get promoted because they speak up, right? And it should be that way. Some people might be out there thinking like, well, it should be the one who is the best at the job, and that's not true either. That has happened. But people who are really good at, let's say, environment work or character work don't necessarily make good managers. I would be willing to say that it's 60-40 where those people are terrible at delegation, at being able to manage people, or being able to communicate what they do so well to others. And it takes a very special type of person to be willing, first of all. Not everybody wants to do that, but also be able to share information in a very effective way, right? So that's essentially what a manager is. Because you're trying to multiply yourself, your efficiency of the team, and that's why it's a commodity. That's why when you're looking at studios being built from the ground up, are kind of composed of these individuals that are have been leads, right? Because you're able to maximize the efficiency. So one lead can manage a group of 5 to 10 or more, and that 10x or 5x the output, right? Which brings in 5x or 10x the money. So that's why there's a lot of emphasis on management. And developers in general, I think if you're a true artist, I think I was like this, and I'm still like this because I think at this point, I've been a manager longer than I've been an individual contributor, which is kind of crazy to think about. But I've been a manager at various companies and now on my own for longer than I have created assets or put together environments, right? And that is kind of natural progression because as you're older, you need or you want, you don't necessarily need, you want a higher salary, you want more stability, you want a little bit more control on your life, right? And that usually means you gotta move into management. And the unfortunately thing, and by design, not everybody can be lead, right? At any given company. For every lead, there's 20 or 25 people under that person, and for each discipline, right? Each department, if you're at a AAA company, right? And that is normal. That has to be the way. You don't want too many cooks in the kitchen. I've been and seen studios that have five different leads for the same department, and to me, it's the dumbest thing because you're really splitting the focus here. And I think it's always sacrificing the creativity when someone does that, right? You can't be a lead and take ownership of something, and it really complicates a singular vision of a creative director or what the game is about if you have that many people trying to make a call, right? And the hierarchy way have always been my preference because that's the point, right? You're trying to get your job done. You don't want to talk to five different people. So explaining the structure of a company and why it has to be that way hopefully illustrates to a lot of you guys, and I know it's very popular, getting back to what I was saying, for a singular artist to remain a principal artist or an artist that just contributes individually and never wanting to step into management, because the idea is that when you become management, you're mostly in meetings and not producing work, right? And I think 9 out of 10 people who wants to be lead feels like they don't want to do that, but 9 out of 10 people end up doing that because it is comfortable, right, to manage and make the call. And the less time you spend doing your craft, the less relevant you become in actually producing the work. But what is timeless is the ability to delegate and kind of gather a team together to execute a certain goal, right? A certain project. So I'm trying to explain to a lot of people here that are listening that if you want to move up in the industry, you're going to have to eventually look to take on some of those responsibilities of can you multiply yourself with another person? I mean, that's basically what management is, because that is what is of value, right? For growth, for a team to grow, for a business to grow, you can't just have a like 50 spearfishers, right? You're gonna have to be able to have an actual fisherman boat and just scroll the earth, and go with the best techniques possible to maximize the same amount of time, and be able to produce way more work, right? So, I mean, I feel exactly the same way. That's why I can relate. As I was moving up in the industry, I was kind of in this position where I didn't want to let go of the actual art, because I feel like if you lose touch, that you're not relevant anymore. How can you lead a team when the team knows more than you do about the actual techniques of making art, right? It was only because until I became a lead, or until I became senior or moving up, that I realized that what the timeless part of it is that being able to work with people, with communicating my ideas and being able to document my ideas so that a team can follow and be able to work as a team, right? And that was pretty exciting to kind of be the organizer, essentially. And I think at the very beginning, it became more transitional, where I stepped into the role. I was doing a lot of the art. I was still hands-on with the day-to-day stuff. But in addition to that, you're able to kind of craft what a lead is, right? You don't have to be in meetings all the time, which is a common misconception. And if I were to break down, and I'll use environment because that's more of my background, but in every department, it's kind of essentially the same, right? So from junior, the difference between a junior and mid-level is very clear. A junior is basically bright eye into the world, fresh out of college, and maybe get are good at art, but in terms of procedure and process, being able to work as a team, completely new. This is largely on not taught in schools, right? So, and I think it's still true to this day. I'm pretty sure, because the infrastructure of a company is just not simulated that well in a school environment, right? So that's the first thing that you learn. You go in there and you learn about your assignment, but also the process of getting that in the engine, so that your team can be able to use that efficiently without using thumb drives or Google Drive or whatever, right? There's a whole process to that. So that's the junior. And once you get good at that, you're producing your work, you're efficient, people can rely on you, you move on to mid-level. Mid-level is like, hey, it's a step above the student. You've been doing this for a while. And so you're reliable in a way where you can be given a task, but you are still being needing guidance on completing the task in some way or some form, either compositionally or colors, or essentially someone needs to keep checking your work, right, to get full approval, right? Once you pass that stage where you're super efficient, you need little feedback, if any, You're in the more senior position. In senior position, you're self-composed, being able to kind of take a task, take it to finish, with very little feedback, and you know, and in this range, you're in the, I would say, 5 to 10 years range, right? So if you look at 0 to 2, 3 years, you're a junior. 3 to 5 years, you're mid-level. 5 to 10 years, you're senior. Right? That's the kind of like hierarchy time frame of how you should shape your career. And from 5 to 10 years, senior, you can, and a lot of companies have like made up names for this. It's either senior environments one, senior environments two, principal artists. It's just made up titles to justify to respect your years, the years that you've been in the industry. But also it's an excuse to give you a higher salary, right? Because every 2 years you want a higher salary, and you should. The principal artist is, I remember the first time I was hearing this, and it was quite new, and it was pretty made up, and then soon it got adopted everywhere, is essentially lead status without management, right? So the best way to think about it is like, if you were a previous lead before, and you want to go back into production and not management, you would be a principal artist, right? You wouldn't be a senior artist anymore. And again, this is up to you guys to kind of negotiate that. And vice versa, right? If you've been a senior artist for a long time, let's say past 10 years, I would say even 12 years, you wouldn't want to be referred to as a senior anymore. You're way past that. You're a principal artist, right? To justify your salary at that point. And principal artists can be very helpful. In a lot of cases, they can step in when a lead is out because they have that experience, that ability. But also, they don't have that the need to manage all the time, right? They're very hands-on, and they're valuable too. It's basically when you have a lead and a principal, you're basically having two very senior developers at your department that gives you peace of mind, if anything. All the principal artists that I've ever met have always had that, on average, like 15 to 20 years of experience that they can share with you. They've been around not just by the process, but, you know, company culture and all that stuff. So that's kind of the lay of the land. And from lead, you can, at first, I've always thought that only concept artists can be art directors, which isn't true. The last 5-10 years, I've seen animation directors become art directors. I've seen environment artists become art directors. Basically, every art discipline have been able to make that jump to art director, where they're very proficient. Essentially, they're very proficient on one part of the pipeline, but they know enough about the other departments that they can deliver a vision and be able to command what they need to get things done, right? So that has been a really interesting development, because I thought at the beginning of my career, being an environment guy, that my highest track was lead environment artist, that there was nowhere else to go, right? And because of my lack of experience, that was my thought process, because that's what I saw. And slowly, I think when I became slowly into the senior role, mid-level of the senior role, 5 years in, 3 to 5 years in, I began seeing environment leads making that jump to art director, as well as animation leads making that jump to art director, which I'd never seen before. So simple fact, I think Corey Balrog, I forgot his name, but the God of War director, right? Creative director, not even art director, he started in animation. He was just an animator, and then eventually moved up the ranks and took over God of War 2, right? Because the first God of War, the original creator, David Gaffey, I think. I think you guys know who I'm talking about. left, and he moved up the ranks from the animation department, right? So this has kind of been brewing up in the 2000s, I feel, where every art track can lead to art director, and even above that, creative director, right? So I've seen that last 5 years, no, 10 years actually, where you can be at the very top if you want to, and you can show that you can do that. But going back to like, all right, how exactly do I move up the ranks? Because it's not as easy as like, oh, I hit my 3 year mark, now I should be considered as a mid-level, right? Because most companies refrain from promoting you as much and as long as possible. Most companies do because financially it's beneficial to a company to do that. They can't be giving out raises every year. They have to, but if they can avoid it, they will because it saves their bottom line, right? And running a business myself, I understand that sentiment, but I'm kind of going the opposite route with my company because we want to reward and create incentives because I've been in that position. And I think if individuals want to grow into these responsibilities that the company needs, it's beneficial to the company because that means they can make more money at the end, right? So because I think companies like mine that are smaller can be more altruistic with what we want and treating our guys right, that we're more flexible to kind of make those changes. But when if I maximize that to a large corporation or even just a large company like 300 plus people, not even like Activision Corporation, that can be a problem because there's just not enough people to make those decisions on a day-to-day basis, right? I really do feel like there's always a threshold to how many people a person can manage, right? When if you think about hierarchy and think about your department at the company you're at and look at that single lead, it's one person. How many people can you manage if you're that person, right? Realistically, it's probably like on average, probably two people, right? And maybe you can stretch to three. But when you go past three, it starts to get kind of difficult, I think. Because I've been in those positions where, yeah, the team's growing and I'm your whole time is basically slated towards feedback and meetings, right? And that's the I think number one fear for a lot of people who want to stop at just like principal or senior artist. They don't want to move the lead because they see their leads in meetings all the time and it's not fun and they seem stressed. But I think because it's an understaffing problem, right? Where that lead shouldn't be managing that many people at once. So, and what that also means is that this you're not hiring enough seniors where they don't need to be handheld the whole time, right? You need to, this is the advantages of like hiring experienced developers because they can lead themselves and only need to be checked in once in a while to make sure that it's in sync with everybody else, right? And it's the same problem that we see, I guess, in schools nowadays. I know some of you guys might not have children, but let me explain to you what the school system you might have heard it, are overloaded, right? You're talking about a teacher having to manage 30 kids, right? And naturally, when you think back, right, these students have a better chance and attention if there were only like 10 to 15 kids, half it, right? The same is true with any hierarchy setup, like your game company. If your lead is constantly stressed and in meetings and having to communicate with everyone to make sure everyone's caught up, there's a couple of things that you gotta look at. Either that person's not efficient with their communication, which is, I think, probably most of the case. But secondly, just naturally, it's just too many people, right? I really do feel like per person, you can probably only can take on 2 to 3 people to be healthy and also be able to kind of do the art yourself, is another way of thinking about it. Any more than that, through my personal experience and through seeing how other people handle it, they and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of leads and managers that I feel do like that challenge of just being in meetings all the time and delegating. It's admirable. It's probably, I would say, a very effective way of growing a company. But there are those that I've seen balance between the two because very quickly, how can you be a leader if you're not motivated, right? And as an artist, you got in an industry to make art. And if you're not making art anymore, something that I'm starting to feel, you're not motivated to inspire, right? It starts with the lead to kind of push that forward. And I keep saying lead because it's relatable. It's the end road for a lot of these career developments, right? If you guys are just in the industry, mid-level or senior, right? You're all looking at least towards lead level salary, right? So I'm kind of using the lead a lot as in this example because it is kind of like the main goal for a lot of people, right? And what that looks like, I wanted to illustrate that there's different ways of doing that. So you don't go into the company and they might have like a rule book of like, oh, this is what we define lead as. But when you become lead, I think a lot of people have a misconception about, all right, so this is a role that I need to kind of gel in, otherwise I'm not being efficient at job. No, you kind of set those rules yourself. So you go in and you get hired or whatever. It doesn't mean that you stuck in meetings all the time, right? You can define that yourself and tell people like, hey, let me run my department. This is how I've done it. And this is how everyone's happy, right? You get to have a say in that, obviously, because you are running the department. And so if you want to remain motivated and not give up the artistic side of you and just do management, you can dictate that and make that change because I think that's important. So kind of going back to my little personal stories, like, this is the longest time that I haven't touched art in my career. We're talking about 4 years, 4 or 5 years where I formed my own studio and made Godemics, right? And because of what it means being a co-founder, there's a lot of things that you have to develop to make sure that the company runs smoothly. Right, and that means offloading a lot of the stuff that I love doing day to day, but because of the growth, you have to kind of put aside those things and focus on new skills. So to circle back, and even then, before then, I was a lead for like 4 or 5 years before that, right, or even 6 years. And as you can see, there was a progression to me, like letting go of the art stuff slowly but surely, right? But what I find myself is, I'm an artist at heart. I got in the industry to make art, or at least inspire and give ideas, not to like only inspire others for their own idea, because that's what you need to do as a manager. But to implement my own ideas too, because when you're starting new projects, that's where it starts with the individual, and I want to still be at the forefront. So I don't want to just inspire someone to do that for me. I want to be able to do it myself. So I'm at a place where I spent a long time away from art, which is the number one fear that you guys are thinking is like, oh, so the higher I go up, the less I do art, because as you manage people are is your art now. It's not the artwork itself, right? Is another way to think about it. But because I did all these things, because my ambitions have always been higher than. It's weird, right? People have different reasons why they want to move up the ranks. Mine has always been my immaturity, right? Even when I began, I've always had problems listening to others, where I feel like I guess I know better. In truth, in my beginning career, I don't. But I always had this rebellious attitude. I don't know where it's from. maybe I was just a bad kid growing up, where I have a hard time following rules, right? So I think I mentioned this many times on the podcast where I'm completely cool to complete tasks and I'm very respectable, right? Obviously, you have more experience than me. I'll listen to you, but you got to talk to me as an equal, which is a very hard pill to swallow for a lot of people out there on the opposite side. Because who's this kid? I'm fresh out of college and I'm telling you that we should be equal. I don't know what it is, man. The minority in me, I don't know what it is, but I've always felt that, we're a team here. Maybe this is, I think if anything, it's probably the sports side of me. Growing up with sports, the success that I've seen working as a team has always been because everyone respects each other and everyone respects everybody's role to complete the objective, right? So I came into the industry thinking the same way. It's like, hey, we're here to make a game. I'm here to assist and specialize in a certain area, but your goal and my goal is the same. Therefore, talk to me like we're trying to achieve that goal, but don't just hand down tasks to me as if I'm, a cog in the machine, in that whether I do it or not doesn't matter. Someone else is lining up to do it instead of me if I don't do it, right? I hate that feeling where I'm wasting time, I guess, essentially. It's like if what I'm doing and contributing doesn't matter, right? Then in my mind, I'm checked out, right? So I have to feel that what I'm doing is contributing to the greater goal, but also it is important where I'm the only one that can do it, right? And that's a very hard way to think about it because, I tell you guys all the time, the number one reason not my first burnout, but where I felt like, oh, I needed to change course in my career, which is the beginning of this podcast. The creation of this podcast, I say 5 years, it's actually been 7 years since we started this podcast. And that moment was based off a moment where I didn't like the fact that I'm making a Call of Duty and it's coming out. Like, I realized that this Call of Duty game comes out every year, and whether I'm here or not, it's coming out, right? I hit that realization near the end cycle of that game, Advanced Warfare, where I, as a senior environment artist, that I wasn't being challenged. And what I was doing basically didn't matter because anybody else could have done it, right? And it got formulaic. Not the game itself. I still think that game was awesome for what it was, but because my task got formulaic, where anybody could have stepped in my shoes and completed that game, and that game would have shipped anyways, right? So I was looking for a bigger purpose. I didn't want to be an individual contributor to someone else's idea anymore, and that's where the shift and the frustration kind of charged me up to, like, all right, this whole time I've been trying to move up the ranks, which I did. And in that moment, out of everybody, I think I made at least the graduation class that I graduated. I was able to move up the ranks and get senior with a pretty good salary within 5 years, right? Which is not that common. And I was proud of that moment because of a lot of things. There's a lot of factors that motivated me to move up the ranks. Money was one, but because of my life situation, this is where settling down, getting married early, and having kids really pushes you to kind of reach higher for career goals. And I have a lot of single friends, obviously, that don't have that push, and they're very comfortable. They're very comfortable where you're at. But the thing is, they didn't have the same drive, which is everyone each their own, right? You don't have to always drive to make you feel better as long as you're happy with what you're doing. But because of that, I was able to kind of move pretty fast in my career because I had that push. I had a family support, but also my ambitions were always and have always been high. And if anything, the family and marriage have taught me how time is so valuable, right? Which is, I think, underneath it all is my main motivation. It's like, if I'm going to put time into something, I need like the maximize amount because I'm competing with individuals that are single, individuals that don't have a family to support. They're just themselves, and they have infinite amount of time to dedicate towards their craft. And so the little time that I do have outside of family and being married and shit, I have to make sure that it is not going to waste, right? Which is and always have been my motivation to move up that rank. And which is a good note for you guys, you know, why you guys want to be promoted. Why do you want to move on to the next stage? Is it the specific job that appeals to you, right? I know for me, environment-wise, to kind of, and this is relatable to every department, right? Because it's kind of diced up this way. When you start an environment, you don't start making levels. You start by making props. And even when you start doing props, you're doing low-level props versus hero assets, and slowly you move up to hero assets. And when you do hero assets, you can start piling it up together and start contributing to a level. You get a little corner of the map, and then eventually having the whole map to yourself, and that's the senior role, right? So that has always been appealing. I want to be able to be a part of these discussions. I want to be able to brainstorm and come up with ideas for this level. And that ambition grew because I just don't want to contribute to one level. I want to be able to have a say in the overall game because, you know, there's only so much control you have over just a level. And then, you know, that led to management, that led to that moment where I felt I need to change that direction because which can be a dangerous thing, right? I do want to at least footnote that as well, where you're never going to be at peace yourself unless you define what you want to do, because it's a never-ending ladder climb career-wise, right? Like, when are you really satisfied? You know, I moved up the ranks. Now I'm running a studio. I'm happy, but there are things here that I, you know, as a developer, I'm trying to do, which is make my own game, right? And we're finally at that place where, like, super awesome, we can start doing this. But look at that long list of my career. We're talking about over 15 years now, from the very beginning. We're to finally to the point where, like, I can make my own game now. That is a long track, and why it's important to define it before you go on this track is that you avoid a lot of burnout. I think there's a few points in my career where I was lost, where I was just looking at the next thing and wasn't looking at 10 steps ahead, right? And that is a huge noob mistake. And the number one thing that I learned from that is that I wasted a lot of time, right? Where I'm at these companies where I feel like I'm wasting time and I have a lot of bad energy, right? Because of the politics or whatever, right? I feel like I'm wasting my time. And it affects everybody. It affects home life. You know, I'm the number one person where I bring work home, obviously, right? I'm working from home now, which is even worse. But like at a certain point where I was able to control that, right? And what changed that for me was being able to change my mindset from looking at the next step of what I want to do, to looking at the next 10 steps of what I wanted to do. Because now the little stuff, the day-to-day stuff that bothers you in the office, or someone being promoted over you, or someone's being favored, or someone's trying to stab your back and being shitty about it, doesn't bother you as much, right? Because it doesn't really matter. Because it doesn't affect your overall goal, right? If your overall goal is to move up the ladder and stay at the company forever, yeah, then it affects you because someone in that company is being asked to you and it's preventing you from achieving that, right? But if your number one goal isn't about that company, it is about something else, you know, your side hustle or whatever the case, then you just end up being that pleasant guy in the office. And funny enough, that's when things get easier. Now promotions are being thrown at you, or people are trying to recruit you because you're known as like this positive energy guy where nothing bothers you and you get your shit done efficiently and you're never complaining about it. That bad energy is completely lost, and the main thing is that you resolved it within yourself, right? There was nothing outside influence-wise that was affecting you and your goals because you know who you want to be and you know how to get there. You defined that. And your career itself just simply played out to the point where you're not held up hostage to other people's ambitions or goals to where in wherever you're at, right? So Winston's kind of making comment here. Let me read that out loud. Maybe I can respond to you guys while I do this. The thing is, it's no longer you feel creative or have creative input or an outlet. You're just finishing and repeating the tasks as ordered. As a programmer, a lot of tasks are relatively basic, but you can still feel creative in the way you handle the problem if you're being micromanaged or in a rut that creative outlet is gone. Yeah. Like I said, like we're in this because we are creatives. And if you're starting to feel like things are repeating itself, or more importantly, even above that, that your contributions don't matter, that I think is the number one cause for burnout, right? We're not in a regular pharmaceutical company where, or in an assembly line of sorts, where you can get by with day-to-day minute tasks. I mean, you can, but what I'm saying is that, like a drug, right? That we like feeding. If we have an idea and able to execute it and see it and run in real time and everyone else is enjoying it, that's our thrill as a creative, right? So the number one fear of moving up the ranks is that you're after senior, especially when you become a lead, is that thrill and being able to feed into that adrenaline is completely gone because now you're more about maintaining and inspiring others to have that thrill for you on your behalf, right? And I think relatively that's a correct assessment, right? I was just telling you guys earlier, as a lead, you do have to take on management. You do have to deal with people more. Obviously, you have to. But it's about effectiveness, right? Can you, if you're greater goal is to own a part of this game where you feel like I can take this game, environment, programming, whatever, animation. Like I'm the only one on this team can take this game to the direction to what the creative vision is. I'm the one that can do that. And the thing is, I can't do it by myself. I can't sit 8 hours a day in an office and just figure this out myself, right? At least with the deadline. But what I can do is I know how to delegate. I know exactly what we need to do. And I know the team that can get me there, right? I love my team. And I'm the best person for this job, right? So you're contributing and you're making a difference in a different way, right? Less hands-on, but more about 5Xing your output. So that's the, I think if you don't have that mindset as you're kind of moving into a more manager role, then either you're in a lot of cases when I talk to people about it, they don't see it as that, right? That they didn't hit that switch yet, right? They really do feel like, oh, this is when creativity starts, right? Or, I mean, stops is when I start managing people. That's where it stops. It's gone, right? The whole time I'm just like checking in with people, right? And those are the worst leads. I'm speaking from experience, but I'm sure you guys can relate. Those are the worst leads where they are doing it and clocking in, clocking out. They're going in meetings, getting out of meetings, and they don't really have any ownership over the game. They're all about that salary, and they don't really care about what you have to say, right? So to me, that's not what a lead is. That's just like in any position, a bad lead. Right, the best leads that I always had, or anybody in upper management I've always had, are there. Is like it's all about like, hey man, we're here to make this beautiful game together. I can help you there. You can help me. Let's do this, right? And those are people who are very communicative. They're very good at expressing their ideas. They're very good at listening to your ideas. And while you sit back at your desk to kind of do what you need to do, I'm moving that message forward for you on your behalf, and basically, you know, spreading the information and working that out in the background, right? That to me is a good lead. And we need more people like that, right? And unfortunately, in studios, it's the less creative people that move to the top, and because they spend their time being political and stuff, and they're very good at talking. And the people who likes creating the and making the contributions just want to be left alone and being quiet. But you can see that how that can be an issue, right? If you want the success of the game to be awesome, we need more creative people to move to the top. But, you know, you look at these studios, a lot of these studios are kind of being formed by producers, right? I don't hate producers. I love producers, the good ones. But, you know, I want contributors to be equally as a co-founder as well, because you need both. You can't do one without the other, right? I'm just seeing too many producers forming these studios, kind of dictating a lot of what we should be doing as creatives, and creatives kind of wilting and hiding behind these areas and not being able to share their story or information and wanting to communicate, right? Overall, I think that's why a lot of studios fail. It's just the money incentive or the business side of things kind of overruled the creativity of it and how creativity should be spread out evenly to be successful, right? We're just getting a lot of suits making a lot of people making schedules and not talking about the soul of the game, right? This has been a problem forever, as far as I can remember, where people who talk the most get these in these higher positions and then call them the shots, and studios either in trouble or eventually shut down, right? This is the most common way, I think, in the PlayStation 3 era, where a lot of these AAA studios just started crumbling. And you can go back 6 years in the podcast and you hear me talking about it all the time. That was the trend. You know, all our studios were dying, right? And it wasn't until smaller teams, and I contributed to a lot of the smaller teams, where the mobile market, I felt, and maybe in the future this will be studied and explored more, were saving the industry single-handedly. These smaller teams, indie teams, you remember the Steam Greenlight, right? These innovative ideas, like creatives, again, took over the mantle and created excitement again, and really turned things around, right? I'm beginning to feel, though, that we're going back into that old cycle where these developers or these game studios are kind of falling apart again. Because the business people or the schedule people are kind of calling the shots, right? I do feel like it feels very similar to the PlayStation 3, because I'm seeing a lot of these studios pop up now everywhere, right? There's a lot of interest in investment either in the metaverse or new studios or blockchain or whatever. Right, these are the three main areas that I see a lot of interest going in, and I unfortunately feel that it's not for the right reason. Right, it's not because there's such a great idea that hasn't been made. Therefore, this studio, it's more people trying to, you know, grab some easy cash, right? And it's a dilemma, man. I really do feel a dilemma. Like, the more creative we get, the best creatives that I've met don't want to do anything with management. They hate it because they were so exposed to bad management, I mean, I really do feel that has been the main issues. Like, they've been exposed to such terrible experiences of people telling them what to do, and it not working out, where they're like, I don't want to repeat that. I don't want to be a part of that. Just leave me in my corner and I'll figure things out. Where the opposite response would be the most appropriate. It's like, oh, this is all shit. Therefore, I'm the only one that can fix this, right? So we need some hero developers out there. So aside from moving up the ranks, wanting more responsibilities towards the things that you want to do, I advise everybody to kind of what helped me long past. I wish someone sat me down and told me this. What is your end goal, right? And it could be piecemeal, right? I didn't figure it out until a little way, basically through trial of fire. I was only looking 2 years ahead sometimes, in most of my career until recently, where I was like, all right, 10 years down the line, do you really see yourself being 45 to 50, just making props, right? No. Life changes really quickly. And the thing is, I don't think when we go to colleges or we even take these online courses for games, no one talks about career development, right? Which is a very common course you would take in any regular curriculum to think ahead, to outline your life, basically. Because I, at a certain point in my career, I was looking around, I was like, I don't really see, and I talk about this many times in past podcasts, I don't really see a lot of 65-year-olds hanging about, right? It being a new industry, yes, but our industry is so new where it is worrisome that, like, it's not just new, it's tech driven, right? It's your skill set correlates to just like anything, but I think more so in the game industry, it correlates directly to how much time you spend towards your craft, right? You're only as good as your investment in your craft. And that becomes less and less true as life moves on, right? Past 30, you're looking towards other things than work, like having, being married, having kids, and that whole life that you're never going to be able to compete with newcomers with that ambition. So you have to be able to be making a decision and define what that role looks like and still be a huge contributor. People who are worried about, like, yeah, I'm not going to be as fast, right? As someone new out of college, I'm not going to be as good even as someone new out of college. Some of these college kids are awesome, as they should be, as the way you want it. But what you can give back and what you should look towards to maximizing your potential is being able to manage those people through experience and guiding the youngins to avoid mistakes that you've made, right? Not just career, not just making profs. Think larger than that. It's like, hey, practices, burnout, work-life balance. The average career in the game industry, I think, has lengthened. I think when I was going in, when I was in college, my professor was telling me, hey, it's pretty much 5 years, and then you're burned out, and it gets tougher after that to find a job. I think since then, that has improved because our industry has have grown, have matured. We're not just talking about making console games anymore. There's mobile, there's enterprise, there's Facebook, there's Google. So because of that, our the longevity of a game dev career, thankfully, is not shortened. That we are seeing people starting to retire as a game developer, right? That's an awesome achievement. What I think we're struggling with now is the natural evolution of, all right, now we're established industry, we don't have to worry about that. It's not going to die out. It's continuous, it's growing, and in a lot of cases, surpassing the movie industry or other entertainment industry. if anything, these tech companies are looking at the game industry as the future with VR and the metaverse, Web 3.0, whatever, right? So we got from the back seat of nerddom, right? We were like, in terms of the technical stratosphere of importance, games were always like kind of a plaything. Game developers were kind of like contributing to like little kid toys, even lower than kid toys, right? It's just a pastime. But now we leapfrogged everybody as being the most important technology for real-time simulation, right? Either through movies with virtual production, enterprise in terms of practical usage, VR, AR, military, everybody is using it. And then the metaverse, the future, we're like right at the forefront. So amazing opportunities. So even if I stop by right now and look at my career, what I did like 5, 10 years ago of where I want to go, if I'm a prop artist, right, or a junior character artist or whatever, you need to start looking beyond just moving up with your company. You guys have so much more opportunity now where you're able to easily meet those salary requirements that you need as you grow older and have that security that you want. But the main thing and a luxurious thing that you're considering now is like overall happiness. It's like, am I going to be happy doing everyday things like props? Or am I going to be happy contributing to something larger and be effective by managing 10 people to do what I used to do, right? And guiding a team to achieving a greater goal than just a singular contribution to the game, right? That is awesome. And it's hopefully giving you guys a better framework of what moving up the management can look like because, we think the number one innovator in the world is Elon Musk, and rightfully, he's at least on paper the richest man on Earth, right? From time to time, I think he switches places with Jeff Bezos, but he's able to run 3 to 4 companies at the same time because he delegates and manages well, and when he wants, he gets hands on. But he knows he's the most effective because he's able to delegate. Right. If he's in there prototyping every device, every car, every rocket himself, and then handing that off, it'd be 100 times or even 1,000 times longer than, getting the right people, working with the right people. Right. So my personal career and what I'm realizing is I like working with people on a project. Right. So just think of it in lines of an indie project. Do you like working on solo, right? Solo developers are very popular nowadays. It's like everything done by me, zero to hero, right? That is not me. All right? And I think defining that for yourself first will really help guide your focus in your career, all the way from junior to senior to principal to lead. I really do think so. And I wish I had known that. Because that would have helped me, because then I would have been more about socializing, keeping note. I did this subconsciously, but I would have been more determined and conscious about the people I like working with and the goals that I'm trying to achieve. So be less combative, right? I wasn't really that combative, but I could have definitely been less combative. And just spending that time at work, just not just secretly holding on to my personal goals, but sharing that with others and seeing how they react to it, because maybe later down the line you can regroup, which is funny enough how I started my own studio. I worked with the guy for a long time at one of my other companies, and we were kept in contact even though we didn't work with each other anymore, and eventually form a studio together, right? If I had known that back then, my focus would have been, I would have been, I'm happy where I'm at now, but I would have gone a lot further. to be honest, if I had known that from the start, right? We're talking about 10 years ago if I had known what I know now. So hopefully what I'm sharing now is kind of painting a picture for you guys to think at least beyond 2 to 3 years, right? Think 10 years, right? And when you think 10 years, it's like, why can't I do that in the next 6 months? You know, why am I wasting my time? And what is preventing me from achieving those 10-year goals, right? It really is as simple as that, because it really aligns everything that you're trying to do to a very effective output. And at the end, time is short, man. We spent 2 years with the pandemic inside a house. And dude, you know, I feel like that was stolen from us, right? That's 2 years of delay there. And in ways that we're trying to make it up with remote working and all. Hopefully you guys are using this time effectively being at home, because I do feel that that is starting to be taken from us. There's a lot of people and companies that I'm hearing it now that are being forced back in the office, right? And I do feel because of that, there's going to be a lot more depression developed from suddenly needing being home and available to your family or whatever, and all of a sudden being back in the office and your time taking from you, right? So use the time that you got now to kind of project where you want to go. And if you can't get promoted within your studio, which is, again, I want to explain to you guys, that's the hardest way of getting promoted to move into the position that you want. It's just the hardest. You're competing with colleagues that's been there longer. You're competing with young talent that just got in, right? And you're in a line that, you know, everybody essentially wants that position, right? You're competing for that position. And yeah, may the best man win, but, you know, best in what regard? Is he just a, or he or she just a favorite, right? And not necessarily on skill. It's just a lot of stuff that you have no control. The only control that you have, and I've seen many times, to get promoted, to move in a better position, is go to the company that is looking that for that position and see how your resume stacks up to the qualification. It's the fastest, quickest way to get your salary, get promoted, and get to your goal, right? Don't waste your time. If you are asking for it at your company, it's going to be the same answer. It was, all right, well, we'll look at it in 6 months. We'll look at it a year, because fiscally, that fits within their company promotion structure. They can't give promotions every month, right? They have a determined time in the six-month mark, January, July, whatever, November, December, whatever, right, that they can hand out promotions, that they can give you more money, basically, right? Other companies are more sporadic, right? They just formed a company and need people now. Can you fill in that position? That happens more frequently. Therefore, you have a better chance of getting a promotion. And yeah, you are in a way competing still, but at least, you know, you're competing with no bias, essentially, right? You're talking to people that never talked to you or other candidates, unless they're referred. But in most cases, you're being judged fairly, which I feel impedes a lot of in-studio promotion, right? There's always biases. So there's too many things stacked against you. But yeah, man, I think I've always appreciated every promotion I've had. I've enjoyed it more and more because the responsibilities is what I always seeked. Personally, right? I know a lot of people are not looking for that, but enjoy it while you can. A lot of those people that I talk to who are very comfortable are mostly single, right? They don't have a need for any upgrade, which is cool. You know, keep that going as far as you can, but at some point you're going to have to be pushed. And it's good because you do learn a lot more being able to move up in management and actually learn what's going on with the studio. You don't want to be blindly coming in, coming out all the time. It's always best to see if the closer you are to the heads of the studio in terms of positioning, the better you are in positioning yourself in your career to avoid unexpectation. Right? So I think that's a good way to kind of end it. That's me in a soapbox. I always doubt that I can talk for an hour, but there we go. I talked for an hour, and that's why it's called the soapbox. For all you guys that joined me live, thank you. Winston, thanks for chatting with me. Yes, it's a good take. I'm trying to do all these episodes live going forward, even though if they're like not being officially released on the podcast for weeks on end, right? But I love the participation. I love talking to you guys directly as much as I can. You know, I'm trying to change it as much as I can without with just putting out the podcast and not hearing from you guys, right? I want to hear from you guys as much as possible. This topic in particular was being asked a lot in the last couple of months. I felt like, oh, it's a good time to kind of talk about this because we're facing this all the time, personally and just curiosity. So I am out. Go get your money, guys, and see you guys next week.